Welcome to the Ecology and Research Channel. Green issues, ecology, incredibly important to embodiment. Obviously, we're embodied in place, we're embodied in a world. How we treat ourselves is how we treat the planet and vice versa. So this is super important, I think, for our whole planet. Research relates to this. We've sort of put two together there. We didn't quite know where to put research, so we put them in with ecology. This stage has lots of great speakers, people I personally enjoy, and it's sponsored by Forests Without Frontiers. So rather than sell a sponsorship for this channel, we decided, you know what, let's give it away to a green charity. Tree planting seemed a good one. We thought we can all get behind that. We all breathe air. We looked into a load, actually. Some of them are quite famous, but don't actually plant a lot of trees, weirdly, or other things that aren't so good with them. This one, Forests Without Frontiers, really does the work. They're in charge of a really big reforestation project in Central Europe, but, you know, we're all breathing it, thank you. It's run by Nicoletta, a very cool lady, and just a cool organization that really does the work. The money goes, you know, efficiently to actually planting trees. I'm happy to be supporting them. For me, it was like, you know, when we were looking at our charities to support, a green one just made a lot of sense to me. That just was obvious. Please do support them. Links below. As well as that, enjoy the whole channel. There's so much richness in this topic.
Welcome everyone. I will repeat a few pointers of the webinar form. You can't have your video seen. You can talk in the chat. You can please ask questions which will be addressed at the end of the session in Q&A box at the bottom of the screen. And you can be promoted now. Your video will be seen in order for Claire to have an audience and have a better interaction. So if you would like to, you please raise this electronic hand at the bottom of the screen. And it will be great. We'll enjoy the session. And now let's welcome Claire Thompson. A very warm welcome to you. I'm very happy to be here with you and all of you, and welcome you to the Ecology and Research Channel. Claire now is the author of Mindfulness in the Natural World, as well as The Art of Mindful Bird Watching. She is a mindfulness teacher in nature and a trainee psychological well-being practitioner for NHS. She facilitates workshops and retreats in the UK and abroad with the aim of reconnecting people with themselves and the rest of the natural world. Claire, I think I hand over the session to you. Thank you so much. Take us there.
Thanks a lot, Beatrice. So thank you first for having me as part of this conference amidst so many amazing speakers. It feels like a real privilege to be able to share a few reflections here. So thank you for inviting me. So my name is Claire Thompson and I lead Mindfulness of Nature, which is a personal venture where I organize workshops, retreats, and online classes to support people to reconnect with themselves and with the rest of the natural world. And I do this because I believe that a world that's more mindful of nature will be more peaceful, will be happier, and hopefully on the road towards something more sustainable as well. So I worked in nature conservation for about 10 years for the World Land Trust and for BirdLife International. And I've been leading mindfulness events outdoors for the last 6 years. And as Beatrice mentioned, I've written two books along the way. And I'm now moving more into the sort of therapy world than the conservation world, but I feel like therapeutic work indirectly really supports nature conservation work in terms of our relationship with ourselves, each other, and the rest of the planet. I work as a wellbeing practitioner for the NHS in the UK, and I have a growing interest in psychotherapy and ecotherapy. And I guess I increasingly feel like my passion sort of really lies in supporting us, including myself, to listen and pay attention more to our sort of felt direct experience of life, and to sort of trust ourselves, to trust each other, and to trust the natural world. And I guess I feel like if we lived in a world that supported us to listen and trust more, rather than sort of control and intervene so much, then perhaps the world would be a slightly more peaceful place than it can be at times. So I thought I would start with just a few reflections on the topic around embodiment and the natural world, and my journey sort of into embodiment through the natural world. And then hopefully there'll be time for a short guided meditation that I can take you through. And then at the end, hopefully there'll be an opportunity for you to share any reflections or questions. But obviously you can get in touch at any point after the session if you have any questions or want to explore anything further with me. So first, a few thoughts on what embodiment means to me. So I guess embodiment really is about sort of being fully who we are through our direct felt experience of life. And it often goes beyond words. And mostly it comes through our bodies. And for me, I guess embodiment has been a journey of sort of becoming more of who I feel like I am, rather than perhaps who I feel like I should be or felt like I should be. I think it's also about aliveness. I think it's about belonging. I think it's about creativity and authenticity. And I think I've learned over the years that it's about trust, it's about courage, and it's about vulnerability. And for it to be possible, then it requires safe and non-judgmental spaces and relationships within which these can be allowed. And I feel like our relationship with the natural world is definitely one of these that we need to be sort of engaging with more. And of course, I think embodiment is an ongoing discovery. So there's not really an end to embodiment. We don't sort of get to a point where we're like, oh, now I'm embodied. It's kind of an ongoing process and arguably ends when we're no longer embodied, I suppose. So I thought I would start by telling you a bit about my own journey into embodiment, which, as I say, started with my connection with the natural world. I'd say that throughout my life, I've had a tendency to be maybe a little bit disembodied. And perhaps we all have for various reasons, including our culture, which a Western culture in particular doesn't always support embodiment. And I'd say that I've always been a thinker, which is sort of a blessing and a curse at the same time. When I was younger, in my teenage years, then I think I spent a lot of time trying to work out like what life was about and to try to find meaning in life by turning things around and around in my head and sort of trying to work out answers in a way that you would problem solve something, which I guess was at the time was sort of the only way that I knew how to work things out. But by doing this, then I actually sort of struggled to find meaning and answers to some of those more existential questions, is like how do I live my life and what's important and what matters and what can I actually trust? And so at times when I was lost in that kind of thought process, then I felt quite disconnected and isolated from myself, sometimes from others, and actually never really found many answers that way. And then gradually I sort of started to think, well, if I want to know about life, or if I want to sort of find answers to these questions, then why not look into life? Why not look at life itself? And I arguably that would be nature. So nature gives us life. Without nature, there is no life. And I felt like nature was the only thing that I could really trust. It was something that was real. It was something that I felt like I could depend on for sort of some kind of truth, perhaps. And so I started by studying biology and science. And although I found that really intellectually engaging, it still wasn't really enough. It still wasn't a felt experience a lot of the time. So then in my late teens, I went to South America. I went to Chile, and I can see there are a few people from South America here, which is really nice. I went to work on a conservation project in the Chilean Lake District. And I remember this particular moment, which I wrote about in Mindfulness in the Natural World, where for the first time in a really long time, then I felt really embodied. And I thought maybe the best way to share it with you is just to read you the extract from the book that describes that moment. So, after an early morning climb along a steep winding path, I remember reaching the entrance of the national park just as the sun was rising over Villarrica volcano in the distance. The view was breathtaking. As I entered the park, I was surrounded by tall, large, ancient trees, each delicately draped in lichens, giving these forests a fairy tale feel. Walking further into the park, I came across a stunning emerald green colored lake. And as I stood there, looked and listened for a moment, I noticed the feeling of my feet touching the ground. I heard the melodious song of a bird in the understory. I sensed the stillness and vastness of the lake, and I connected with the peace and silence around me. I took a deep breath of pure fresh air, and I felt grounded and anchored. As I let my senses continue to take in my surroundings, I experienced a mysterious feeling of what could only be described as sacredness. I felt an immediate sense of great respect, of being part of something intangible and much greater than myself, right there in that moment. And this feeling contained a mix of peace, of connectedness, of undeniable beauty, and a strong sense of reality. I had for a moment completely tuned into nature. And it all came to me in that instant, that wordless and thoughtless instant. This is why I was alive. This was the simple joy of just being. And my thoughts stopped seeking answers. This was undeniably real, and this is where I belonged. So I guess that moment in the Chilean Lake District, and quite a lot of my travels in South America, it was something to do with, you know, the scale of the wilderness, and it was my first experience of, I guess, what felt like untouched wilderness, which I hadn't had a lot of experience of before that, perhaps. And they really led me to realize that in nature, then I felt really at home, and I felt really free to be myself without sort of being judged. I felt I could be vulnerable. I felt I could be more authentic. And I think it also opened me up to a sense of trust in something greater than me, something that I was sort of integrally part of. And in a way, I guess I felt sort of heard and allowed when I was in nature. And then I started to reflect on sort of why, you know, like, why would this be? Why would I feel like that in nature? And it kind of seemed obvious in a way. It kind of seemed like, well, we are nature. So no wonder we feel a sense of belonging and connection in nature. We're made of the same elements, the same building blocks as the rest of nature. We evolved in nature. Our senses evolved to take in the natural world. Our bodies are nature. They're made of the same stuff as the rest of nature. Our minds evolved in nature. So we just have an innate bond with the natural world. And by just being here, then we are embodying nature. That is what we are. And I guess in that moment in Chile, then it kind of led me to feel like I was enough. That was enough to just embody nature. And there was a kind of relief in that, and in that maybe the point of life, if there was a point, was sort of just embodying it and exploring that felt experience of aliveness in all of its forms, with sort of all the joys, all the pains, and everything in between. And then it occurred to me that perhaps when we evolved our ability for sort of conscious thought, then we became disconnected from this direct felt experience of nature. So we created a separation between nature outside of us, nature inside of us, and ourselves. And this disconnection from ourselves and the rest of the natural world, arguably, I would say, could be the root cause of potentially most of the problems that we experience personally and culturally and society and environmentally today. Because if we choose to live disconnected from the rest of nature, from life, as if we were separate from it, then it's kind of like we're living a lie. It's kind of like we're trying to live a different story, which isn't actually grounded in in a reality. And it seems like at the moment, then perhaps that's having some quite negative consequences on the planet, on us, on our society. So in that context, then embodiment sort of comes, it becomes about coming back to nature. And for me, embodiment has been sort of about coming back to that felt experience of nature within ourselves, so the body and the mind to some degree, and to nature around us. So, and just being curious and trusting that experience a little bit more and learning from it. And this is where mindfulness came in. So to me, mindfulness and embodiment are sort of synonyms, could be synonyms. I usually define mindfulness as sort of paying attention and welcoming all our experiences of aliveness, including our sensory experience, our experience of our body, our experience of our mind, and just letting it all into our awareness and allowing it to be experienced and heard with playfulness, with compassion, with kindness, and with understanding, and as far as possible without judgment, with a sort of acceptance of it. So it's very much about allowing our human experience to be expressed and felt, and just existing just as we are, and making conscious choices around how we might respond to this in ways that could support a more peaceful existence. And so in this context, then I thought it would be interesting to talk a little bit about how nature supports embodiment. So what's the link between nature and embodiment? I mean, nature literally supports our embodiment. So our bodies are nature. So without nature, then we would not be embodied. But also because of this innate bond, when we're in touch with the rest of nature, so then when we spend time outdoors in connection with the rest of nature, and it's a little bit like putting a fish back into water, although that would be the same thing anyway, but it's kind of just as a metaphor, it's like our bodies just feel more at home when they are in nature, or in touch with the rest of nature, because our senses were built to take in natural sensory information. And our bodies evolved in nature, our minds evolved in nature. So we were built to take in the natural world, and because it was the only way we could survive. If we didn't respond to the natural world around us when we first evolved as humans, then we wouldn't be here anymore. So our senses are attuned to the rest of the natural world because they had to be. And so when in nature, then this sort of stimulation of our senses naturally, without even any effort to practice anything, it feels like they naturally take us out of our mind a little and into the body. And you may have experienced this even just, you know, after a few hours walking or hiking in nature. Sometimes it feels like something settles, or there's a clarity, maybe even a clarity in the mind that comes about. And it's as if sort of something greater than ourselves sort of takes over and energizes us and leads us to feel more grounded and more connected and more alive. The other thing is that it sounds a bit obvious, but nature is naturally embodied. So animals and plants need to be fully embodied in order to survive. They must be 100% connected to their body and their sensory experience and to their surroundings, in order to avoid predators and find resources to survive. And because nature is embodied, then the natural world responds to our own embodiment or to our own lack of embodiment. So in a way, it's an invitation to be embodied ourselves when we are in nature. We often think of ourselves when we're in nature as these kind of detached observers of nature, almost sort of almost tourists in nature sometimes. But actually when we are in nature, then we're fully participating. So our presence, our attitude, the way we are, the energy that we have when we're in nature is felt by the natural world and the other living creatures around us. And there's a lot about, if some of you may have heard of John Young, he wrote a book called What the Robin Knows, and he talks a lot about bird language and how we can directly experience the responses of birds and their different calls depending on how we are in nature. If we're in a sort of goal-orientated mode of mind when we're walking through nature, even if it is to seek out birds or to see birds, the natural world will respond to that. The birds will respond to that as if they're being sort of pursued, because they would interpret us as being a predator. Whereas actually, if we are embodied in nature, then it's more likely that the wildlife will actually trust us and will actually sort of see us as part of where they are living. And so it can actually bring us into more intimate encounters with nature as well. Being in nature can also support our curiosity and our compassion for other living things, which in turn supports that sense of embodiment again, because it supports our connection to sort of wider family of life beyond our human family. We're actually related to all the other living things in the natural world, and it's a way to reconnect us with that. And finally, I think we're, like I've mentioned previously, I think we're allowed and not judged in nature. So there isn't really any right or wrong in nature. There's no sense of good or bad. There's just embodiment. There's just embodiment as things are. And perhaps that sort of supports us to feel more accepted and heard in that way. And so spending time in nature can be really supportive to our own embodiment in that way. And then I thought I'd just finish by just saying a few words about why is embodiment important for us and for the natural world and just for the world more broadly? So I think the first thing is that I feel like we all need belonging and connection. I think it's our lack of belonging and connection and our disconnection from ourselves and from each other and from nature that is the root cause of a lot of the problems that we see in the world today. And through reconnecting with ourselves through embodiment and with others and with the rest of nature, perhaps we would be led to take sort of wiser action, because we naturally care and want to protect what we feel connected to and what we love, and where we feel we belong. So if we were more embodied, then perhaps destruction wouldn't feel like the natural course of action. Perhaps destruction would actually be too painful for us. We wouldn't be driven to want to do that. And I think that a lot of the struggles that we see in the world, in the human world, are very much about wanting to really belong and wanting to really be heard and acknowledged and accepted. Because we can't really help what we feel, we can't help what we think and and how we are and who we are. We are who we are. But when we're not heard and when we're, at worst, actively repressed, but when we're not heard and acknowledged and accepted, then there's something deep within us that understandably begins to find ways to ensure that we are heard. And sometimes this can have quite serious consequences for ourselves and the rest of the world around us, I would say. And I don't think this wanting to be heard, I don't think that means that we should go around and sort of impose our desires and our thoughts and our emotions onto everybody else and onto the world. It's much more about, it's actually about the opposite. It's kind of about finding ways to be heard that mean that we don't have to take out that frustration that we're not being heard and accepted on the rest of the world. And I think it really starts with ourselves. I think it starts with taking care of our own embodiment and becoming who we are for ourselves. And naturally, that tends to lead to a greater acceptance of others, because it's like, if it's okay for me to feel this, then it's okay for everybody to feel this. So there's like an inner understanding that then means that that feeling of judgment tends to dissipate over time for towards other people as well. And in order for this to happen, then I think it really means promoting a culture and relationships of sort of openness, of trust, of vulnerability, and just really opening up about what it is to be human, and all the contradictions and the sort of absurdities and the crazy thoughts and the like irrational emotions that we can all experience. We need sort of spaces where it's safe to share these without necessarily feeling pathologized. And I think that nature can really help this, because in nature, there is, as I said previously, there's not really any sense of right or wrong. It's like there is only embodiment. And so for me, I guess embodiment sort of within myself and with the support of nature it's really brought me sort of greater meaning. It's brought me a greater sense of strength, of grounding, of trust in myself. But it is really hard. And I think it's important to acknowledge that it is really hard. And I think the hardest part for me, which is also, I think, the most rewarding, is it's about trust and sort of like, you know, trusting your own embodiment and allowing yourself to be who you are. It's trusting other people's embodiment and allowing them to be who they are. And it's about trusting the rest of the natural world as well, and actually sort of learning from that. But trusting can be really terrifying at times, because it challenges our desire to be in control. And it can sort of bring up all sorts of like amazing and sort of enlivening emotions that can be sort of painful and pleasurable. And sometimes that sense of aliveness can be overwhelming. And so, yeah, it's a difficult journey being embodied or coming more into embodiment. And I've been really supported by people just from reading, like Brené Brown. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with Brené Brown. And there was a recent book by Glennon Doyle called Untamed. And all of those have sort of also helped me with that sense of trust and embodiment and trusting yourself a lot more. And it's funny, because this morning, just to show you how hard it is and how it's an ongoing journey, this morning I mentioned to my dad that I was a little daunted about this talk and sort of presenting at this conference. And he just replied, but you know this from the inside out, trust yourself. and I kind of thought, well, yeah, actually, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And it just goes to show that I guess we all have ongoing work, ongoing work to do, and a sort of ongoing reminder of trusting ourselves. And perhaps more than anything, then, the path towards embodiment has brought people into my life, whether it's at work or personally, who I can sort of share openly and vulnerably about what it feels like to be human, and hearing people share vulnerably with me and openly is it always feels like a privilege, and it's a constant reminder that the human spirit is really incredible when we get to know each other close up. It's like we realize that we all have the same needs, and we're all as crazy as each other in our own different ways, and we all just want to be heard and belong somewhere. And I think you know, nature is a place that unites us in that way, just because of that innate bond with nature. It's like it doesn't matter what country we're in, or what job we do, or what beliefs we have, or what religion we adhere to, or whatever. It's like nature, it encompasses all of us just by that, through that innate bond. And even when things are sort of tough and uncertain, then it always inspires me to sort of see that we do find ways to stay embodied, and we do find ways to fight to sort of continue to be heard. And so I really think that a more embodied world, where being who we are is supported and allowed, will be happier, more peaceful, and hopefully on the road towards something more sustainable. And I think our bond with nature, our innate connection with nature, which we are embodying, is absolutely essential for this. And that's, I guess that's one of the main reasons why I do the work that I do. That's sort of what I wanted to share in terms of like reflections around the theme of embodiment and how it's impacted, or how it's sort of impacted my journey so far. I wonder whether I was going to lead a meditation now, so perhaps we'll go through that, and then at the end, if there's anything that you wanted to ask or share, then we could spend a couple of minutes. I could spend a couple of minutes responding to that. So if you'd like to just take a comfortable position, if you've done some meditation before, if not, just pick a comfortable position that you feel you can sort of rest in for about 10 minutes or so. And if you're comfortable, you can bring your eyes to close. And I just thought I'd guide you through a meditation that is, it's very much about embodiment and grounding. And there's a sort of inspired by connection with the natural world as well. So when you're ready, just bringing your eyes to close. And just taking a moment to just allow everything to settle. So I'm very aware that I've just been talking for a while, which may have sparked a lot of thoughts and reflections, but just seeing if just for now you can allow those to just settle to the ground, perhaps a little bit like when you've shaken up a snow globe and all of the little snowflakes sort of drop to the ground. So without forcing anything, just allowing things to settle. And as you do so, you can start to just notice the physical sensations of your breath. And again, just allowing the breath to breathe itself. So just seeing if you can trust the breath to breathe itself. There's no need to make it any different to what it is. Maybe noticing where in the body you feel you're breathing the most. And just noticing if there's any activity in your mind. And if there is activity in your mind, then allowing that as well, and perhaps just allowing it to fade into the background, as if you had sort of a radio station and it can still be on, but you're just not giving it too much attention. There's no need to get into a fight with the mind. It's more about tuning out of it for now and tuning into the physical experience of breathing. And then just starting to feel into the weight of the body. So maybe feeling the points of contact between the body and the surface beneath you that's supporting you. And again, just resting into that sense of feeling supported by whatever is holding you right now. And once again, realizing that there's no need to make any effort, there's no need to intervene or control in any way for that to happen. In fact, it's about the opposite. It's about sort of releasing effort and allowing yourself to feel supported by the surface beneath you. And then just starting to feel into the body, into your arms, into your legs, into your feet, into your hands. And just seeing if you can inhabit the body more fully without trying to change or fix anything. It's just being curious and present with how your body feels right now, whatever that might be. And just really bringing that sense of allowing to your experience of your body. Maybe there's tension, maybe there's relaxation, maybe it's pleasant, maybe it's unpleasant. We're just seeing if whatever is there could perhaps be okay for now. And then feeling back into the points of contact between the body and the surface beneath you. And perhaps just imagining some roots kind of growing from the body deeper into the ground or deeper into the surface beneath you that's supporting you. And just tuning into that experience of feeling connected to the ground. And just continuing to imagining those roots growing and perhaps gaining sustenance from the ground. So like trees and plants, imagine that the roots may be nurturing you in some way from the ground. And just feeling really sort of embodied in that lower part of the body that is in touch with the ground. Maybe there's a stability and a strength in those roots, in that contact with the ground. Or maybe not, which is also fine. There's never any pressure to be experiencing anything particular. They're just suggestions or sort of an invitation. And then while sort of feeling that connection with the ground and that connection with those roots, then maybe just opening up to the upper half of the body. So maybe the area around the chest or the heart, and just noticing what's going on there at the moment, what your felt and body experience is in that part of the body. And maybe there's a kind of softening in the upper half of the body into whether there are any emotions there, any other direct experiences of temperature, of pressure, of relaxation, or tension. And if possible, just allowing, again, whatever is there to be there, and maybe in some way supported by that groundedness and that stability in the lower half of the body, lower part of the body. And so maybe through being grounded and sort of supported and stable in the lower half of the body, then it enables us to receive whatever emotions may be there, or whatever sounds may be around, whatever scents may be around, what you can feel on your skin, and just allow your experience to sort of be permeated by those things while staying grounded. And just imagining yourself as a tall, strong old tree that could be changed by those experiences in the upper half of the body. So it could be changed by the different weather that it might experience. And it can let it in, it can allow it in, but it can still remain stable and strong in its roots. And just spending a few more moments just embodied in this way with this image of the tree and the roots and the branches being allowed to receive whatever is coming their way. And then perhaps just taking a moment now to just come back to the sensations of your breathing. And taking a moment to just notice how you're feeling now. And again, just allowing whatever you are feeling now to be experienced, to be what it is. And as you rest your attention with your breathing, then I'm just going to finish by reading a poem, which I'm sure has been shared in the conference in other sessions, but it's one of my favorite poems. And I think it summarizes a lot about embodiment and the natural world. And it's Wild Geese by Mary Oliver. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination. Calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family of things. Okay, so in your own time, you can maybe just bring a little bit of movement back into your feet and legs and into your hands and arms. And then eventually bringing your eyes to open again when you're ready. Great. So thank you, everybody, for joining in that. So I think we've got a few minutes. I wonder whether, is it Beatrice, did you sort of pick up any questions that you think it would be, that perhaps I could take, or should I have a look in the Q&A?
Yes,
yes.
There was a question interesting, saying that how do you think is that we feel this duality and separatedness from nature, if we are nature and we are really part of it? How is that there is still this duality and separatedness? Do you have any comments on that?
I mean, my feeling about it is that I sort of alluded to it really briefly, but I think it's something to do with having a conscious mind and having the ability to have have abstract thoughts that kind of creates that separation between us and the outside. So, you know, we can have a whole other inner world in our minds that's conscious, and that takes us out of that direct felt experience. In fact, that embodied experience that we've been talking about, and that can sort of create a real illusion of separateness. So it's obviously real because it's our real experience. We do feel separate a lot of the time, but it's just acknowledging that actually that is a product of having that conscious mind and that ability to create separation. And I think you know, when our conscious mind sort of first evolved, when humans sort of first came about, and it was really helpful because it helped us to create separation and to put things into boxes and to label things and to sort of understand things in that way, to gain some kind of control over what was going on. And at the time, you know, in terms of survival, then it was very much about you know, acquiring resources and control over territories and social groups, and it was really valuable. Well, it was obviously valuable because it got us to where we are. So it's obviously been really useful for us to gain a grasp on the world around us. But the problem is that it's not a sustainable way of relating to the world, it seems. I don't know if that answers the...
Yes, yes, it's great. I don't know if you're the person, but I think you said a lot about it and how we came to that point. We have a few things. It's joining what someone was saying also at the beginning, that he feels that he can connect very easily with nature. But sometimes when he goes and he's with family and friends, he feels he missed that connection, and people maybe, you know, how they speak, and they maybe go to other topics and how to bridge and be able to share maybe these experiences we feel. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we would have to go to workshop with you and then we might. I see a question in the Q&A from Noor. Mindfulness and politics seems to be on opposite ends of the spectrum. Our access to nature and its destruction is very political. How do we engage with politics more mindfully? Save ourselves and the nature that supports us.
Thanks, Noor. I think I know Noor. I mean, it's a very big question. I feel like I would always say that it really is about starting with ourselves. Like, I really think that sometimes it can be tempting to sort of, you know, go wide and maybe, you know, sort of try to change things in a way that's sort of beyond ourselves. But I think if we sort of practice embodiment within ourselves, and then with the people around us in our day-to-day life, then actually, in a way, that's the only direct influence that we that we have, and perhaps that sort of then spreads in a culture, and then perhaps that indirectly over time can sort of start to influence you know, politics and some of the issues in wider society. But I think it's a really, like, it's a really difficult one, because obviously I think that would be the sustainable way of doing it, if it's like inner change. But actually sometimes there's an urgency as well, and it's like bringing those two things together is a real challenge, because often when we respond through urgency and in a kind of reactive way, then it might create change in the short term, but actually in the long term it's not so sustainable because we're just reacting. So I would always, I mean, it may not be enough, but I would always say that it's just about focusing on what we can do within ourselves and our own lives as a starting point, and see what happens when we do that.
Yes, thank you. We have also a question for practices eventually, from Adrian. Thank you. Practices, maybe you could share that when we are in nature and when we go into our spaces in nature to practice and experience more connectedness and embodiment, eventually to connect to that. Mm-hmm. Would you like to share?
Yeah, so I mean, one thing I was going to say that related to what you were saying, Beatrice, about somebody saying when they go out with other people, I think, you know, obviously sometimes it can be great to go for a walk and have a chat to your friends and family, and I'm not at all denying that that's a valuable experience in nature. But sometimes it can be just as simple as doing like a section of the walk in silence, and actually just trying that. So walking in nature silently with others can be a really connecting experience, strangely, as in often people think it might be disconnecting because they're not talking, but and actually sort of tuning into your senses as you're walking. But you can do that with others. You don't have to do that by yourself. You could just get together with your family and suggest you do like 10 minute stretch in silence, and maybe then discuss what you noticed during that walk. You know, what sounds did you notice, what did you see, what could you smell, how did you feel, what was going through your mind. You know, so actually a shared experience of embodiment with others. I think there's a practice called the sit spot, which John Young, who I mentioned, refers to in his book What the Robin Knows, and that's about finding a place in nature, ideally close to where you live. So it can be somewhere that you can visit regularly, and actually get to know it, develop a personal relationship with that spot. And the sit spot is very simple. It's just finding that place to go and sit, tuning into your breathing, then tuning into the different senses. So noticing again what you can hear, what you can see, what you can feel and touch, and then just getting to know the wildlife in that area. And if with that attitude of actually being present, which is really important, because then they're more likely to be some intimate encounters with wildlife and the bird life in that area. A lot of it is sort of sensory, engaging the senses in nature, perhaps instead of necessarily going into the sort of species identification ecology side of engaging with nature, which is also extremely valuable. It's just a different way of engaging with it.
Yes, I would like to mention a gratitude message from Kristin, that she shared that she had the best meditation experience in 53 years, and that she felt a total freedom. She could really let go and not thinking of if she meditated correctly or not correctly. I think it's nice, and I had the simple when I read, because I thought it was wonderful.
Thank you. That's good to
hear. Yes. Did I address all of it? I think so. I think we can. What the Robin Knows, How Birds Reveal the Secret of the Natural World by Joe Young. Yeah, I was curious also of that mindfulness of birds that you mentioned it in the start. And then we can go to Claire's book, because it's a very, I feel to go on in the conversation personally, I could connect so much and relate to some experiences as a silent walk in nature, for example, that We used to practice with some friends, theater friends, and it was so beautiful not to feel we have to talk. Mm-hmm. And I want to take it back with me now and find this place in nature that you mentioned to do that again. And thank you so much, Claire.
Thank you.
For whoever, yes, who would like to continue the conversation, we might be able to connect on coffee breaks. I don't always succeed, but Jeremy, thank you. He's now we have the website of Claire. We might also, Jeremy, if you can post the different links to connect to the coffee breaks on the portal. We might have also the Facebook group to connect and interact with other attendees who would like to continue this discussion, because I feel the sharing is really is bringing us to a deeper thought process, deepened process, and we can from there really initiate this move in us and in our lives, which personally I believe as well as you that it starts from here. Mm-hmm. And now this conference is generating this very strong community and sharing experience, and it's wonderful. So for whoever who would like as well to go again through the sessions and see other sessions, because it's overwhelming numbers of good speakers that we have, so I would invite you to gift yourself with the sessions, and we have around 1,000 sessions I think going on, so you can upgrade your status on your portal and access it. If you can't offer it, maybe a friend can do that, and you can share it also together. That would be great. And it's also a great thank you to Mark and everyone in the conference putting it together with a huge effort, really, and love, of course, always. I can say that, and it's reaching the biggest number of people as possible right now, to bring embodiment in different ways. And I think today we really got a very expansive way to see embodiment with your own body and with our contact with nature, because we are embodied by nature like plants and other animals, right? But we forgot. Our mind is coming in between. Lovely. Claire, we would like to have your top tip embodiment. We put this together at the end for all the speakers. If you have, you said many, but if you want to spot something.
My top tip for embodiment, get outside, spend time outdoors. That's basically all I could say. Yeah.
Thank you so much. It was lovely.
Okay, thank you.
Have a great following of the day, everyone. And the last session in the channel of Ecology and Research Channel is about the art of creative reciprocity by Jamie McHugh. I don't know how to say that with my French accent, but yes, it's in 2 hours, I think. Enjoy. Yes,
thank you. Yeah. Thanks.